Thank you for having me and us. The podcast was fun. The Bad Take Podcast. Yeah.
What's up with everybody? This is Luxury Nas, Bad Take Podcast. You already know what it is. I'm here with
your boy Flame from the South, South Georgia, man. How y'all doing? I just want to say happy birthday to my dog, though. You know what I mean? Happy birthday, bro. You know what I mean? You out there living it up.
Appreciate it. And this would be actually my first birthday in a while. You know, I really get to celebrate because just the last 2 years just been hard time. Well, 3 years just been a hard time and just, you know how it be, hard work.
Yeah.
Don't really got the time for anything.
Grinding, man. Yeah. Cool.
I'm glad you get
to enjoy this one though, man. You know, you out there overseas doing your thing.
Yeah, it's crazy because I was actually going to go straight to the Philippines when I had left India, and that was something in itself, you know, by itself. I got a homie that was telling me, hey, you know, I'm thinking about going to Pakistan. Why don't you wait in India for like another 3 weeks? And I'm like,
nah, can't do that.
And I'm not, listen, for all my people from India that's listening to this, it's no shade. It's just India is not for everybody. And I'm included in everybody. Like, it's just not for me. You know, it's just very busy.
It's a lot going on.
A lot going on, yeah. So, you know, let's get straight into it. You know, like, I had met you, Flame, in Naba Hills, the bridge. Mana. Yeah, right up there. And when I seen you, it's crazy because when I was walking up, I was vlogging at that. And I seen him. I'm like, at that time, I ain't seen no black people. Like the whole time in Vietnam, I didn't see no black people. So when I saw you, you stuck out. And then you was fly as hell. So
appreciate it.
You know,
yeah, basically, I mean, yeah, when I seen you coming down the steps from the hands, from the big hands, that's the hands bridge, right? Bonner Hills hand, like up there to see that hands bridge. I was like, let's see if he gonna speak or whatnot. But I think he had the little camera too, so I'm like, he might be on it, you know, like he just shooting some footage and shit. And then, you know, he spoke, like, okay. So went to chopping it up from there, you know, good energy, you know, good people meet, for sure.
You know what's crazy? Before I met you, I was going off about that because I did see one black person. It was like, I don't know if she was African or what she was, but it was like in this more like popular zone in Vietnam, like where all the clubs are. And I seen her and she looked at me for a second and then looked past me. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, she looked past me, you know, and I feel like it's I went off because it's crazy to me how it's like there's 99% of them. I think 99.9% of them and that small 0.1% of us. If you see another black person, say something, speak up.
But you know, whatever what Boosie say, the real one's gonna speak, man. Shout out to Boosie, man.
The real one's gonna speak. That pissed me off. You know, that's why when I seen you, I was like, yeah, I gotta say something. I got to.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely when we traveling and stuff, man. You know, you do wanna engage other people, man. It's good to connect somewhere else, you know.
Yes, sir.
And it's somewhere else, and you know, it's just a good feeling to see other people doing it, see other people traveling, you know, living their life. They got a different experience, you know. They got a different mindset. They got a different mindset, open mind, you know, especially somewhere in like Southeast Asia where we at, where we've been.
And that's why what I always tell people. And I don't mean this in any bad way, not towards you or any other black person that's listening to this. The black people because most black people, right? And the statistics, everything is up on the internet. People want to search it or whatever. Most black people in America don't travel abroad. They don't leave. And I think that's just most Americans. I think that's what it is. But most of us don't. Like, I think I know maybe 2 out of 5 people got their passports that I know personally. You know, so to see certain black people out there, you're the exceptional, you know, like, you know, there's something special about that person, you know?
Yeah, that's why when I seen you, I said, okay, he's doing something a little different. And it's cool, you know, it's cool you go around traveling the world and you get to see things and you get other people's perspective. You get other people's perspective, which is big. And I think it does need to be revealed to, you know, people who we know, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, as well as I know, and, you know, I'm going to get straight into it. Like, a lot of people, like, I think before I even, like, I was working with this guy because I was working at the school district last year before I started a corporate company I work for. And he came up to me and he was like, yo, bro, like, let's go to Columbia. And as he's talking to me about going to Columbia, my first answer in my head is no, you know, because I'm thinking of Pablo Escobar. I'm thinking of El Chapo. I'm thinking of every bad movie in the book, you know, like even when you see movies like
the cartels and everything. Yeah.
Take it's real.
But you got to be doing something. Or, you know, you just watch, you know, you get that in your mind and the dangers of it, but it's bigger than that. You know, the places still be bigger than that. So I definitely got to make it over there. I'm ready to make it over out that way too, though. We got to take that trip.
It's going to be a good one. But main point was, my answer to him basically was no. But he kept asking me, I said yes. And when I did it, it changed my mind. But before that, I think I wouldn't have never left the United States. I had my passport, but I never planned on using it. You know what I mean?
Right. You ain't have a destination in mind yet.
Yeah. So what's so special about you, like when I spoke to you, you told me that you lived in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and before we even get to the whole Japan thing, I want to ask, who are you? Like, where did you start? You know, where are you from? Like, tell me, just give me your story, because you, just being with you that whole time, you're a very special individual. Like, your life is different and it's amazing. I have so many questions for you. Let me ask, where are you? Who are you? Where are you
from? Appreciate it, man. Man, I'm just a country boy from South Georgia, man. About an hour from Jacksonville, Florida. Now I went to Waycross, if y'all know. A small place, man. Country, but we real. We you know, we show love. You show love. It's you know how it go. But yeah, I'm from the country. You know, a lot of people when I grew up, they had a lot of negativity on going into the military. I wasn't, you know, my dad was a dope boy and all that. I can say that.
Selling drugs.
Coming up, you know, I seen both sides of it. And then I had an older cousin. He was an officer in the Air Force. So he would always take me and my brother, and some of us, he would try to show us things. And I was one of the ones that actually listened. You see what I'm saying? I seen this man come back. He buying everything. Every time we have like a event or something, you know, for the family, he the one paying for it. As an officer in the military, man, rest in peace. Yeah, he passed last year. But yeah, so he was a big influence on me. And then I ended up passing the ASVAB. It came to my school when I was in high school. So, yeah,
what
country
did you
boy.
Score on that? If you don't mind me asking, what did you score on that?
Like a 70, 72. I think it's like a out of the 100 is the highest you can get. I think it's like 72 overall, if I remember correctly. But I made a high enough score to join the Air Force, and I was already, you know, I'm a country boy, so like I was already on the form, and I lived up in North Georgia, Griffin, DeKalb. Clayton. I lived all over Georgia. So I got homeboys up there in Atlanta and all that too. So I had both sides of the city life and the country life. And then I just knew, you know, growing up around what I grew up around. Like, that ain't what I wanted to deal with on a daily basis.
So let me ask you this. In school, were you the person with the hoodie up to yourself? Were you the basketball jock, or were you just kind of doing your own thing? Who were you in school?
I played sports in middle school a little bit, and then I didn't get to play like that because my mom was, you know, moving. She was a single mother, so she was moving back and forth, up and down north and South Georgia. Okay. So, but I always say I'm from South Georgia. You know, everybody want to bring up Atlanta, but I'm from South Georgia, man. 912. But you know, I had some friends. I had friends. I grew up. It's a small town, but you got two sides of town. got two sides of town. I'm from the hilltop, you know what I mean? HTP, we'll say that. They wasn't game banging. They wasn't game banging like that back then. It was in the countryside. You know, it was always the out of town people. You ain't mess with the city. The people who live in your city like that until I want to say what we had the little depression. Remember, we had the depression, and then you know everybody started moving to the cheaper areas, and then that's when a lot of gang activity got way worse. So then I had that. So we had to deal with that in high school, and a lot of stuff started changing for us like that. And then it became, you know, my side of town changed versus these people who lived on the other side of town. And it got a little out of hand, but it's getting better now. A lot of people don't, you know, grew up.
If you don't mind me asking, at what point in your mind would you say didn't spark you to travel, but what was the spark that was like, okay, you know, something got to change? Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you good. Just like you said, you made it out. Like, what was that snap for you that just was like, okay, you know, you woke up like...
A lot of my older cousins and people around me, they died or went to jail. Growing up, like, you know, you see that, and then it's like your daddy sell drugs. And once I got the ASVAB test, we could keep it. We could keep our high school score. So once I got the ASVAB score, my homeboy, like that's like my brother now. We grew up in the same neighborhood and shit. So fucking I was waiting on him to pass his, but he never made that score. We was gonna go wherever we was gonna go, we was gonna go. Like, so if he went to the Army, we was gonna do the buddy system. But I ended up making the Air Force, and I always wanted to work on jets and shit like that. I thought that was cool. I thought that was something cool to do. Now my mindset of it was different than what it is. And we can talk about that on another thing, you know, for the people who want to join the military and everything.
Yeah.
Definitely do it. Definitely, if you want to just, you know, get you a good solid foundation, some discipline, and learn, you meet everybody, so, right? So that's what it was, man. I went into the military. I had never really left Georgia. You go to Florida, right? That's right next door. But, my mama, we weren't traveling up and down the road. I told you, I got family up in Philly. I never been up there, man. You see what I'm saying? So, like, it's crazy. You know, I hadn't even seen... I done been more places overseas than I done seen the whole United States.
Yeah. So yeah, it felt like that, right?
Yeah. So, my first assignment, I went to Texas. And then, you know, you got to go to BMT, the military school and all that. And then I went from Texas to Japan, man. Straight to Japan. That was my first assignment for 3 years. I got sent over there.
So that was, okay. So that was going to be my next question. You know, how did you get to Japan? But wait, give me 1 second. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, how did you end up getting to Japan? So to add on to that, as far as family, has any other family ever traveled that far? Because Japan, if, you know, don't nobody know, you could go look on the map. So, Japan is on at the corner.
Yeah. So about that. So this is a crazy thing, right? This is what we talk about, the travel thing. So I get stationed over in Japan. I have no family member that ever came to see me over there till this day. And I got kids over there now. So it's crazy. Nobody's been over there.
Listen, I understand. I used to live in Virginia and my mom wouldn't come see me out there. Like, it's... Some people don't want to travel.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, the bigger move or the closed-mindedness of that. I had, like I told you, my older cousin, he was in the military, so he went a lot of places. But you know, a lot of the places he was, you couldn't go over there because that was like war zone type stuff. You weren't going over there anyway. But he'd been to Japan, and then I had another cousin. That's like two of us who, she lives in Germany. So she lived out in Germany. Ramstein Air Base. So her two kids, they grew up over there. So they know they're a little bit more knowledgeable in the foreign world, travel world. But again, that changes people. And I know now, if you've been living overseas, coming back to America, it's a totally different feel for you because you get an outside look at your country, you know? And that's a whole nother video too, man. Cause that's a big one too.
So I want to lead on to my next question. Was adjusting to the culture easy or was it hard? Like for you, What was it? Because I don't, you know.
From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Me personally, you know, going to Colombia, I kind of knew it would be dangerous in certain instances. So it's like, I feel like I kind of have common sense, but for some people, they don't like to be touched, you know, like just like people running past, you know, just jogging. Like if you, you know, all my people that's from the hood.
Yeah.
We don't play that shit. Like
the touchy feely. We ain't really on it. We're not really on it. So, of course, like the military, it changed you a lot, but I was still young, right? So going there immediately, it was already a big destination for me. And you gotta, you know, every country a little different. So Colombia and Japan way safer, right? Like it's one of the more safer countries you can actually travel to. We ain't gotta really worry about murder and death, like people shooting up everything, you know, you don't have to deal with those kind of situations. So over time, I let my guard down. I became more, what you say, docile.
Yeah.
Docile nature. But when I first got there, man, like, you know, you go out and drink with the locals, it is a little different because, you know, you in their country, they already don't see a lot of black people. Back then, it's a lot changed now, man. Y'all go to Okinawa, it's a lot of military there now. It's a big military presence. So over time, now there's way more interracial kids and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But when we first got there, like the partying was frowned upon. And then, you know, you got like incidents where like, you know, like Americans doing certain things that kind of mess up relations a little bit with their people. But and also Okinawa, I went to Japan, but I was in Okinawa. Okinawa, you need to look up, show them Ryukyu Kingdom, man. They was their own people. So if you go to Okinawa, definitely call them Okinawans. All right, y'all, if y'all go over there, call them Okinawans, man. They'll love that, but they want you to show a little bit more respect because they their own, you know, they're their own people. They got pride, man. They used to be their own kingdom. But Okinawa people are strong. They're like, it's like the Hawaii of Japan. You know, the waters are blue. Recommend if you like diving and stuff, go definitely check out Blue Cave. You got the Cape Hito. It's like a big cape off the side of the cliffs, man. It's beautiful. You get some nice footage out there. A good little drive. It's a good drive. The Nago. The airport is Naha. Naha Airport. It's not too big, but this is just like a chain of islands at the bottom of Japan. They call Japan mainland. And then Okinawa is like the little island, the Hawaiian islands. You know, if you ever go to Hawaii, if you ever go out there, they refer to the United States as the mainland. They do the same thing.
Okay. So also far as like adjusting to the culture, how did the people treat you? And did you ever feel like anybody like was ignoring you, or did you ever get frustrated just feeling like people just couldn't understand you, or you couldn't understand the language?
Yeah, you're going to have a language barrier. You know, I'm a person though, I always knew like, all right, if I come to your house, I can't expect you to do something that I do because it ain't my house. I can't get mad at you for putting your water on the top shelf and I keep mine under the sink. You know?
Yeah.
So you have a little language barriers. I think if you travel, you should definitely have patience with people because, you know, it's maybe like a culture factor because they shocked to see you here, especially if it's someplace that they don't get a lot of tourism for us, you know?
Yeah.
That's the big thing that's why we need to travel. I feel like we need to travel more because they only see what they see on TV, you know?
Do you feel like they have ever done anything you felt racist? Yeah, something like, do you feel like they ever done something that was racist, but then you look back and was like, okay, that wasn't racist. That's just, you know, the culture.
So I think that's a big thing in Japan. But a lot of people, a lot of people forget that, you know, war times, how Japanese people used to be, right?
Like, okay, yeah.
They are serious people, but Okinawans are very, very friendly. And then Japanese and Okinawan people still, like, you know, they busy. They really busy, but they love family. And if you get a friend, you get a good friend, man. Like, the people are really nice. Not everybody, it's just like America, you know, like, not everybody think the same. I will say they have some cultural things that we ain't gonna like because we don't understand it. And it's just a cultural thing, you know, like.
Like, what's one, if you can name one?
I would say, like, okay, certain bars, right? They have certain bars that you're not going to understand that they are for business-minded people, you know? This is for, like, business people, but they don't know how to tell you that, so they might just tell you, wait, you can't, like, they'll deny you some places. Some places you will get denied. Onsen, which is a spa, a bathhouse, you can't, some of them don't allow tattoos, you know?
I've heard of that. Yeah. They want to allow you in the spa if you had tattoos.
Yeah, because they don't know, like, you know, it's one of them things that they were worried about, like, Yakuza, you know?
Yeah.
The mob, they have tattoos and everything like that. They're mafia. So it's a traditional thing where you can go. They make you cover it up or put, like, tape over it. It's kind of crazy, bro. Like, they got, like some tape that you can cover your tattoos up. And some beaches, like even at hotels, some of the hotels won't allow you to go out there on their beach. Like, they have a private beach, and they won't allow you. They won't allow you down there without your tattoos covered up.
Dang,
kind of crazy. You know, you think, because when I was younger, I used to be like, man, like, come on, man, it's early, it's 2010, like, you know, it's 2013, 2015, like, we still dealing. Like, everybody got tattoos now. So, but it ain't your country though. You see what I'm saying? You respect their customs.
Yeah, respect their customs. And I feel like if you're just a random, you know, African-American coming from the United States, because we think different from, you know, Black people from, you know, let's just say Africa, wherever. But we think a lot different. Somebody from the United States going to one of these places, like you said, the bathhouse, they don't allow tattoos. They just think, you know, hey, it's flat out racist. You know, and that goes into my next question. What do you think is the biggest misconception about Japan? Like, what do you think people get wrong? Because for me, a lot of people always told me, don't go to China, don't go to Japan, don't go to the Philippines. They hate Black people. They're racist. What do you think is the biggest misconception about Japan? Because,
I mean,
you're a Black man living in Japan, like, you gotta have the best opinion, you know what I mean? What do you think it is?
I do, and I feel like, you know, we like to express ourselves differently than other races, right?
Yeah.
Like very differently than other races. And we believe that we should be allowed, which we are, but how you carry yourself, it matters, man, it matters, because
they only see what they see on TV, okay? They only see what they see on TV. It's, you know, and we got to get out of that mindset that everybody hate us. I have friends in Hiroshima that live in Hiroshima that know more about hip-hop. We always say, like, the culture and everything, man, they know New York hip-hop. They know about Biggie, Big Pun, Big L, Alden, Tupac.
Yeah.
They know it. They know, like... Like, I don't even know, like, the old school hip-hop, like, 8-track, like, 8-track stuff.
Samples,
like, real, they know about the real samples. They know they got a Japanese reggaeton, reggae, all of it. They love soca. They have Japan soca, man. Like, y'all gotta look into this stuff, man. Like, Japanese people love us. There's a lot of Asian cultures, like, Asian cultures that really have love for us. You know, a lot of people don't like us in the ignorance, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
We're a little bit more stronger about our sexuality and what, you know, what we do, and they not. So, yeah, you have people hating on that. You're going to have people hating on, you know, the sisters with the big booties. They not used to that in their culture. But guess what? In Japan, they like their women slim and petite. The Asian dudes, they like their women slim. They don't like the big, you know, big breasts and big booty and stuff like that. But if you meet some Japanese people, they're going to be nice. They're going to treat you nice. Now, behind doors, they are going to have you. They are like indoor races. It's true. That happens. They're out there. They're out there. But as far as mistreating you in public, that ain't going to happen. You ain't going to really see that happen like that unless that person is just hateful and disrespectful. And if a Japanese person sees that, most of the time they're going to say something. They're going to say something. I can say that. I've never been turned down, like, help from a local person in Okinawa or mainland Japan. Some people might not want to talk to you or help you because they're busy. They are really busy people, man. Like, they work a lot. You can look that up. And you got to remember, like, when you're traveling to the people's country, like, they're not obligated to stop their life to cater to you.
You know? And one thing
a language barrier, they really don't know what to tell you. So you can't be like flustered. They don't know. I will say a lot of signs over here, they have Japanese and English. We have good military relationships with them. There's a lot of festivals. I just came from a festival yesterday. Obon just passed. This is like a Day of the Dead type thing. It was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. They put out, you know, like the Buddhism, you know how they do the Buddhism thing where they put the food out for the Buddha statues. They do that. But they like put real food out on these trays and pray for their ancestors and lanterns. That's what the lantern for their ancestors to come back home, you know? Like, that's their way to come back home and be with them around this time, and then they go back. So that's a big thing. And Japanese people love to drink. Tell y'all. Yeah. Japanese people love to drink.
Before we get to that, I kind of want to go back to that part to where you said they don't have to stop their day to cater to you, which Japanese people, right? Because I have a Japanese friend, and she tells me all the time, like, how different she is compared to, like, a lot of other Japanese people, because she said that Japanese like the same. Like, they like everything kind of the same. Yeah. They like to be on time. They like everything kind of the same.
Structure, yeah.
So it's structured completely. Like, and that's what I've noticed about the culture. The culture in itself is like everything is structured perfectly. You know what I mean? It's not like the United States where you're getting maybe 100 delays for a bus or a train. You're left outside. Like, no, seriously. Like, there's been times where I had to walk 50 blocks, you know, like, what is that? Like, an hour, you know, just to get home because the bus is supposed to run, but it's not running, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I like that part. And also you said something about, you know, people, you know, passing out, like, because the Japanese girl, like I said, she told me that, you know, people are overworked and they end up just passing out, dying on the street. You know, and then also you got, what is that force called? Like, where a lot of Japanese suicide force.
Yeah, it's sad, man. I got a homeboy. He right now, he dealing with a suicide. I ain't going to go too much into his business, but he had a friend out here that passed and he didn't know. He just came back, you know. So my condolences to him and his friend. But, man, like, that's what you talk about, like, traveling into the other people's country and stuff. Everybody gonna have their own outlook at it because it's their own, that's their vacation or that's their getaway, right? Yeah. When you travel, you make what works for you and you figure out there's a place for you. That's the best thing about traveling. You can figure out, like, okay, I can make this work for me, you know?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So this world is huge, man. And I think we as Black people, a lot of us are stuck in the victim mentality, still blaming the world, still blaming the world for things that, hey, man, look, this is your life. We're going to sit here and think about the negativity, or, hey, we're going to live through it and realize, like, everybody ain't the same. There are chances. You got to put your best foot forward, too. You can't just come out here, boo-hoo me and complain about life. Yeah, we all gonna have rough times in life, but we gotta keep going, man. We gotta keep going and show them that we still strong, you know. We still strong people, and I think that's holding a lot of us back still, being closed-minded. Oh, I don't want to eat that. Oh, she want to have her nails like me. You should be happy people want to have their nails like you. That's telling, that's showing you that somebody like your style, you know? So I'd be confused. I'm like, okay, they dress like black people, but they don't like black people. That's not true. That's not necessarily true, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, isn't that the whole point of entertainment? Like, you know, I'm in my room.
We the biggest entertainers, though, in the world.
But that's the point. Like, it reaches out to people, and at some point, it becomes international, which is more money, and that person becomes inspired of you, and now they want to dress and be just like you, just like that same person in America that's in a room with a Tupac poster or Katy Perry poster or, you know, Alicia Keys or something. They want to dress and look just like you. So why is it racist for them to do it? You know, it makes no sense to me.
So it ain't like they're not allowing you to go in the... I'll be confused because it's like, it ain't like when you go to a hip-hop club in Japan, it ain't like they're not letting you in.
Yeah.
They let you in. It's not like you can't go to the hip-hop clubs. So, like, that's what be confusing me. They're like, oh, they want to be like us, but they don't like us. It's like, okay, if you know, if a white woman dressed like me, or if I go dress up in a casual way, I don't say white, like, dress like me or whatever, but if somebody dressed like me, and I think we got the same, there's somebody for everybody. That person might not like you, but that's a small serving size of appreciation for your culture when they doing soca in Japan. You know, that's the Caribbean dancing. So they got bachata dance classes. My homeboy, he in a bachata school. They teach it over there. In Okinawa, they have one. And mainland, too, they have them. But that soca carnival travels all through Japan, man. You got One Oak. Club One Oak is in Tokyo. You got hip-hop places, you know. There's a mixed Malaysian chick. I think she's going to kick it open. She called herself Nigga Chan. They hate it. But she black and Japanese, man. That's what she called herself, Nigga Chan. Look at you. You can look up. She out there doing her thing, man. But, you know, Japan is like you said. Japan is like you said. It's structured. It's one of them court. It's a country where, like, it's different for them. So you want to throw your own, you're going to have to throw your own events because it's not going to stand the same because everybody don't like hip hop like that. And they got EDM. They got, you know, other stuff that they like. They big on anime.
It's a mixture of everything because, you know, one thing I realized, right, from going to Philippines, to Vietnam, you know, at that point, you know, even being in a club with you, these people don't know English. But they know all the English to the fucking songs that we got. Yeah. So it's crazy how these people, they know more what's going on in the U.S. than somebody that's in the U.S. You get what I'm saying? It's crazy. We don't know.
The cultural, but they're studying it. We're living it. And that's what we was talking about. I know a lot of people that get mad about that. They come like, oh, well, they want to dress like us, but they don't know what come with it, like the violence part. I'm like, wait, you got to take the violence part out of it. You can't expect them to know about the murder and all that's in the songs, because I have a homegirl, she DJs, and she's like, can you break these lyrics down for me, you know? And, you know, I teach her about it. She teaches DJing. She's in a school in Tokyo, man. She do that. Yeah, I got a couple other people. I met a guy out here. He's Japanese, if you ever want to talk to him, too. But, you know, I just went to the festival. You see me out there drinking and chilling. They playing American music. They don't all like hip-hop. They play rock. They know everything. Bands, they love, you know, they love same things. Everybody, look, you've been traveling. They like all our stuff, man. Americans is popular. It's not as bad as people make it. It's what you make it and how you carry yourself, for sure, though.
So,
for sure.
So to veer off a little bit, right, I want to ask you about, let me just ask you like this. What is dating like in Japan for a black
dating
man?
Dating in Japan as a black man, I will say, I'm going to just say we all different, right? You know, I'm a Southern guy. So we all different. I would say women in Asia, they still carry a lot of traditional ways of how to cater to their men.
Yeah. I feel like the Southern guys, you guys still have more of that traditionalness.
We want it. Hold on. We want it. But you know how times is right now, man.
Yeah. I feel like versus the North is more, it's whatever you want. It's chaos.
It's everywhere. That's America right now. Everybody mad at the passport, bros. You see this? I don't get it. And we try, you bring it up. Don't nobody want to fix their ways. Everybody just supposed to deal with what's going on, the chaos that you're saying. Why do I have to deal with it?
Yeah. Uh-oh. So when you first got to Japan, right, what was dating like for you? Like, was it hard to meet somebody? Did you use any apps, Tinder? Because I know that was around at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tinder used to be huge, but now a lot of people stray away from Tinder a lot. Yeah. They got some other stuff out there. I think when I came up, social media was When I was younger, I ain't that old, y'all. I ain't that old. 31. I'm a young man still. We just put it at a man. So let's say 2013, 2014. Drill music was what? That's when Chief Keef them verse rolling up. So things in Japan definitely got a little shaky. But the clubs were still fun. You know, you had some murdering and stuff going on, but that was stateside. It didn't really transition over there like that bad. You still had people fighting. A lot of people do that, man. Don't take gangbanging international, man. Do not take gangbanging international. It does not translate well, man. It don't translate well. People, you shouldn't want to deal with that. This should be your reason to get away, to go experience freedom. Like, you ain't stressing about looking over your back. You talk about Japan, man. Japan, one of the most peaceful countries you can live in. I left my passport one time. They put it in the gym. I came back. They done put it on the desk. Nobody messed with it. You know what I mean? You leave something on the train. They gonna give it to the conductor or whatever, and they gonna keep it. Or it might be in the same place you left it. It might be in the same place you left it if you're quick enough. So
yeah,
this is stuff that's not that for us is not normal. Okinawa, man, like, you get a car wreck, somebody get in a car wreck, everybody probably over there trying to help or trying to get help for this person. You know, I was shocked to see that. I'm like, wow, we so desensitized as a country, you know, like to murder and stuff like that. It's crazy. But this is why you should travel and see how other countries is and why they are like that. We're still a great country.
Let me ask you specifically, like, what is it like dating, like, for you? Like,
my bad.
Did you? No, you good. Listen, that's all good. Far as dating, did you get any girlfriends over there? You don't have to go deep into detail about family and everything like that. Okay. But did you get any girlfriends? Did you go on dates? Like, what were the first one or two, like, you know, for you?
Okay. So me, being where I'm from, I'm serious about relationships. I'm big on, like, I'm super serious on relationships. So when I get in a relationship, like a girlfriend, that's somebody I'm taking serious for marriage. So, but some little friends I had, man, yeah, I had some good friends. I met a girl. She know how to hoop. She played basketball. You know, she liked playing basketball, hip-hop. She was hip-hop style, so she wore the basketball shorts and the little crop tops and stuff like that. That was cool. Sweet, man.
So would you say she was more like the black sheep of her family that was kind of like she was different?
No, because Okinawa, so Okinawa is islanders, and there's a lot of military bases, so they mingle with us a little bit differently, you know. They know Americans.
Back then, I see what you're saying.
But back then, like, it was fun. Like, everybody still went out to the club and played basketball and go to the beach, you know.
Yeah.
They had little car meets. It's cool, man. Like, they had little car meets. They bring out their little Sora, Toyota, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Skylines, you know. That's when the hookah was big thing. You know, they got hookah lounges and stuff.
Yeah, and you said you had some friends, too.
Yeah, I got some Japanese friends. My Japanese friends live in Hiroshima, most of them. I ain't leaving nobody out. And I got some Okinawan homies, too.
No, I meant like when you was talking about the girls.
Yeah, so my main girl at the time, my baby mama, man, she Okinawan. She'll let you know. And I like my girl mean, so I'm paying for it now. But I like my girls mean, man. And she was she took care of me, man. She made my lunch. Like, she made my lunch. I got the wash down. That's the thing. You get a local woman, man, they take care of you. They're going to cater to you.
You said a wash down?
Yeah, man. Like, these women will give you, hey, we trying to take a shower? Come on. She going to shower you up, cook, all that, clean the house. This is still real. Like, this is what y'all mad at the passport bro is about, but it exists, and they're not complaining about this. You do right for your, you go to work, you come home, you treat her right, you good.
Man, that'll change your damn life. She could like,
it'll change your life. But, you know, men, sometimes, you know, we act up a little bit. But black man don't cheat, though.
You're going to get canceled.
Black man don't cheat. I'm just saying, black man don't cheat. We don't cheat. I'm just saying, men, we, you know, we creatures of habit sometimes. I'm guilty.
So city girls or province girls? Because the rural ones who travel, we know the difference. Yep. You know,
oh yeah. So it depends on where you at now. Don't be a fool. It's one out there trying to. It's always gonna be one out there trying to get you. Mm-hmm. It's always gonna be one out there trying to get over on you. But I would say for the most point, man, on the most thing, every person that I knew that was trying to date seriously and really wanted to handle their business. Right now, they still married. They still doing good. I got a homeboy, he met his girl, we was partying, and he told me, he was like, hey man, like 2 months in, he was like, I'm finna get married. They still married to this day.
And he met her at a party?
We went out clubbing, and he started dating her. He was dating her for 2 months. And they've been married for almost 12 years, 11 years now.
And they met at the club?
Yeah, he was in the military.
That's crazy.
She cut hair, he found out she cut hair, she cut his hair, she was his barber and everything, so... They doing their thing, man.
Man, listen. They doing their thing. Listen, she lucky she know how to cut because he black or he Japanese?
Yeah, he black. It's a black dude.
Listen, you know how we are about our hairline. If she had a fucked him up.
I ain't got no hair, man. But yeah, I know. They can't cut hair. So if you a barber and you wanna go overseas, they need you. They need you. That's a free one. That's a free one. You go over there, man. You find you a girl. You let her get the crib. You go buy you a base, a Navy base, Marine base, whatever. You get over there. You cut hair, man, because they need it. They need it. I'm telling you. Black folks.
So that's another thing I want to ask, right? Because this kind of separate. It's not really on the list, but visas. Is it hard to get something like that? If you know. If you don't know, it's fine. When it comes to work visas, what is that like?
Well, with everything that's going on right now, it's all kind of jacked up, right? With what's going on in our country right now, man. Like, a lot of that's been changing yearly for people that I know that do
to
that.
To come to Japan and work?
Yeah, to come to Japan and work. Japan, so serious, my bad. Japan, not so crazy, but it is tough because to get a job, like, to actually... You need to be fluent in Japanese for a lot of them, unless you want to teach like English or something. Their grade scale is, you have to probably pull this one up. The grading scale for proficiency, I think one is the highest for Japanese proficiency for business. You have different levels of Japanese. My Japanese is broken. I do speak some, but we would call it broken Japanese. Okinawa actually has its own language too. They speak Okinawan Hogan, which is a different, you know, a little different than regular Japanese. They use different words. They got their own little language too.
Okay.
Which is cool, man. It's pretty cool. For the Japanese people out there, hajimemashite, that means nice to meet you. Namae, TJ des, or flame des, you know. That's how you say that.
And was it hard for you to learn the language?
Nah, man, because, you know, I wouldn't say go out there and try to read it. That's tough. But it depends on what kind of learner you is. I like talking to people. I think it's easier for me to pick up what's going on if we talking, right? So if we go out to eat and you telling me on a casita, what's she saying? She probably asking me, am I hungry? You know? Okay, I keep hearing that. Nani no mu, what do you want to drink? You know, what do you want to drink? You want something to drink? Mizu is water. You start hearing, oh, mizu? Okay. Ocha, tea, stuff like that. It's kind of easy to catch on, right? Basic colors and stuff. You gotta go in with an open mind and wanna, you know, incorporate yourself, I guess, or something like that. Like, you gotta wanna go in willing to accept the fact that, hey, this ain't my country. And I think that happens a lot. We get kind of frustrated when people don't understand us or mad at them for not really accepting what we coming with, you know. You can't get mad, like, you loud on the train and they don't talk on the train, you know?
Yeah, no, right. Yeah. They don't.
Your music can't be black. You don't blast your music on the train. It's quiet, man. Like, man, it's a crazy thing. The train is quiet, clean. It might be packed. And local train gonna be packed now.
Yeah, and I seen a video that was going viral. It was basically about, like, some YouTubers coming over there, you know, blasting music.
Yeah.
You know, having a speaker, trying to dance and everything, like, while everybody's just, you know, quiet on the train.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about stuff like that? Like, how do you feel about YouTubers and TikTokers that's coming to Japan doing stuff like that? Because it seems like Japan is now starting to put the hammer down on, you know, people.
See, but this is why we get this view of us, right? If you didn't pay to use that section of the train, and you know, you think they came over there not knowing the customs. You know, you travel, man, always look up their customs and courtesies, things that they don't allow, so you don't look like an asshole. You don't want people to look at you a certain way, but you're going to come over and be an asshole. Like, I don't want nobody coming to my house fussing and yelling and cussing and going crazy, and I'm chilling, watching TV, and they're like, why you don't want me over here? Because we don't do that over here. You know what I'm saying? We chilling over here. And
yeah, but I think, you know, if I was to go on to a train, right, and I'm loud, you know, I'm just talking, I'm not even paying attention. I think when I get on that train and to the person I'm speaking to, I'm going to realize there's 20 people on this train, nobody's talking, and I'm loud as shit. And I'll stop, you know. It's like people purposely just ignore that, you know.
They do.
They don't read the room. And do you think it's on purpose or they just don't care?
We are so Americans. Let's say Americans. We don't look at things that way, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of structure. You look at it. We don't have a lot of structure no more. That's why we don't have traditions no more. Like, we don't have no real traditions no more. Somebody asked me that. They was like, what's American tradition? You think about it, what's real American traditions? We got, like, what, 4th of July? Juneteenth?
Yep.
Like, we don't have no real traditional things we do no more that make us define, like, who we is. Like, they walk on the left side, or, you know what I mean? Like, and run. Like, if you're busy, you go down the right side. You're not busy, you go to the left and stay in line. You see what I'm saying?
That's because America politically was split into different things. Like, I feel like the politics are too embedded into the people, you know, to where it was like, you know, if you're an everyday American, you know, you now believe this, so you should go this way. This person now believes this, they go that way.
Yeah.
Then you got two parties that split everybody in half. So it's like nobody's on the same page and nothing gets checked in certain communities.
I say we used to have bigger, I'm saying like we don't have family reunions no more. We don't have
You don't have family reunions no more.
We don't have like the get togethers like Thanksgiving, like because everybody mad about the Thanksgiving or Columbus Day or whatever, you know, however you feel about it. Don't nobody wanna have a tradition of anything that makes us really us. And we take that the non-structural, there is no discipline for anything we do. There's no shame in anything we do no more. So when you take that to somebody else's country, they kind of got a bad taste in their mouth for you, you know?
So
when they come over, they thinking like, you're going to be this person. And that's where you want to go with the, how do they look at us and my dating experience. My girl was not a big clubbing girl.
Yeah.
She was not big. She was not big in the clubbing. I used to get to go. You talk about go back to girls real quick. I used to get to go out and then just go to her apartment when I was done. Like I would go club and go to her and take my butt home. The homeboys drop me off and then I see them next time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, what were you saying?
Yeah, but I just feel like for them YouTubers and stuff, man, like that's the kind of stuff that mess it up for people, you know? Because now they're going to be looking like, oh, here come this asshole. He gonna really come over here and do like this, you know? That's the kind of stuff that it's just not cool. Because if you had some Japanese person go to the hood and do some crazy stuff that we didn't do in the hood, that you're gonna feel the same way, you know?
Yeah, you're going to get chased out. Quick.
You're gonna get chased out. They come over here and say, yeah. So, you know, I just think people should do more courtesy things. If you want to turn up, go to the club. They ain't gonna be mad if you turn up in the club. It's places they'll tell you like it's a quiet area. If you go into a lobby and everybody quiet, you don't feel obligated to kind of be quiet. Oh, it's the lobby. I can talk and do whatever I want to do. You can, but don't be mad when somebody come up and ask you to keep it down a little bit.
Let me ask you this, because I want to go back to far as like dating. When it comes to dating, how do you go about taking someone serious? Like, courting. What qualities or standards would the woman have to have for you?
Well, I'm a Southern dude, man. So, you know, I look at your character, how you carry yourself, how you treat me, things like that. You know, I used to be big on I don't make my own plate. You know, my mama, like, you know, your grandma didn't be looking like, hey, it's time to eat. And you sure you don't go in the kitchen with the women. If I'm talking to my daddy and you still standing in my face, it's kind of, you know, that back in the, that's how it is, though. That's how it is, man. That's how it is. Your woman supposed to make your woman supposed to go fix your plate, man. You don't fix your plate. You can tell her, baby, I got it. But, hey, best believe mama going to be looking like, she don't make his plate. Oh, hell no. This ain't the one.
Yeah. Like,
oh, your woman don't feed you or cater to you. That's a big no-no for me.
I agree with you, because I was sitting there listening to Gucci Mane's wife. And she was talking about just how submissive she is and everything she do for him. She said, look, I fix his plate, book his stuff for him. I do his sheets. We don't have no cleaner that do none of that stuff. I do everything personally because I need him to feel like he can't live without me. You know what I mean? Like she does everything for him, you know, and that's what it means when people say, what do you bring to the table? It's being so, what were you saying?
A traditional man wants these things.
Yeah, yep.
But we in a different era now, man. And I think it's hurting us. It's hurting us men because we as men, we still want this. But we get attacked for it because it's like, oh, I'm not your slave and all this. It's like, no, you're not my slave. You're not my slave. And, you know, now women have way more opportunities and everything to make more money, right?
Yeah.
So, and we know about a community, everything being pushed and so much stuff being pushed out there onto people. about how we don't need each other. We don't need each other. Black women, even though we traveling, we still love y'all, man. We still out here. We still love y'all.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot. It's a lot that it look like the community getting attacked, and it do be getting pushed out there like that. But the money thing ain't everything. Every man ain't going to have 200,000, 200, 300,000 to just ball out. And if he do, he busy, you know? So that's what you saying in the Gucci Man sense. She got to be able to, man, look, baby, I know you busy, but I'm going to book your tickets. I'm going to make sure your shoes is ready. I'm going to make sure your suits is ready. You ain't got to pay nobody to do this because I'm going to do it for you. I'm your woman. I can handle that.
Your volume has to be so undeniable that the man can't live without you.
Right here. For the homies, all right, let me tell y'all something. They wash you down. They're going to wash you down. You get a little head and everything else. You know what I mean? You take care of your thing. Hey, listen, you're going to always have a home to come to. As long as you play in your part, man, she's going to play hers if you get the right one.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got to get her from the club, man. It's a lot of women out there that's hardworking, man. Like, you'll get you a farming girl or somebody who understand your hard work, you know, and don't really want nothing for you. A lot of women ain't going to ask you for nothing but your time if they really, you know, if they really like you. They ain't going to ask you to do nothing for them, you know. Yeah. They'll just be happy when you do something for them, you know.
Yeah.
That's real. I will say this about Japan. This is a big one. Foreigners do not have the same opportunities as Japanese people.
Ooh, I don't know if a girl told you that. That's a big one.
That's a big one. It's a big one. You got to work a little bit harder, but that's everywhere, right? But owning stuff in Japan is different. Usually, as a foreigner, you need to have a Japanese person. Check this out. We talk about people being able to buy stuff in America. Japan, you need a guarantor. Like, you cannot, like, own real estate in Japan. It's got to go through a Japanese person.
So I would have to have a friend, or I would have to be dating somebody, or, just somebody I'm close to, I could trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's going to be under her. And then you could be a guarantor and everything, but it's got to go through them legally to
a citizen.
Yeah, through a citizen. I actually went through the process to have not dual citizenship, but residency in Okinawa. But I was working there and I couldn't have both at the same time because taxes, right? That was cool, a little cool little thing. The Japanese driving test is very difficult, I've heard. Very difficult because you need to be able to read some of it. But now you probably can translate it and take the test and it's fine. So
like you were saying, like when it comes to the business part, because I think a lot of people are interested in that, because just by me going to Vietnam, you know, seeing how you could go buy a pair of Nike Air Forces for $16. You could go get a Nike side bag for about $6. You know, when people are asking me, hey, could you ship this bag? Could you ship that? Yeah. And I also have a cousin that actually goes to Japan to go, you know, to go buy like a substantial amount of hair to bring back to the United States for her business. Yeah. How does that stuff work? You know, like, do you know people that make money buying stuff, shipping it back? Far as Japan, what do you know about that?
Okay, so this one might be a little shaky because of the transporting thing. You know, you don't really want too many people to jump into that business because there are people, and there's a lot of stuff that, like, we don't think about. Like, when you see people in the airport and they got them big brown, big boxes, they probably getting stuff in bulk, right?
Yeah.
Instead of shipping it, they flying it back.
It's cheaper.
It's cheaper than having somebody ship all this to you because you already bought it in bulk. But you can use your luggage to bring this back. So if you took a day trip, one outfit, and you moving, and you put, you know, six packages of clothes and stuff that you just traveling with on the airplane, with your ticket, with your weight for 7 to 10 bags, for your family, hey, who's stopping it?
Nobody. But, you know, sometimes when it comes to, what do they call it in the airport? You have to claim a certain amount. Customs. Like, you know, when they say claim, Like, do you know anybody that had issues with that?
Not if it wasn't drugs or nothing. If it wasn't because they play in the system. Like, you think about it. That's just my stuff for my kids.
I like how simplistic he's putting it, you know?
You see what I'm saying? Like, if I got five suitcases, my girl like to do her hair. And my daughters like to do their hair, and I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, unless they knew that it was packaged a certain way and it looked like, okay, he's selling these goods. Most people getting by, man, unless they shipping it. Like, then you going through the whole thing, you doing it the right way. And, you know, it might be different. Some people, they know that they got a business. They might look into that, right? But the under table guys, as long as they don't do too crazy, they ain't getting picked up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you make a certain amount of money.
Yeah, what were you saying? Sorry.
You make a certain amount of money, that's when it get funny, right?
Yeah. Yeah. How is the Japanese airport? Because I'd say the United States airport is okay, but I think they kind of stereotype, you know? But I feel like me as a black person, I feel like they kind of leave me alone, especially having my headphones on, you know, bobbing, zoned out. I feel like India was the worst airport I ever went to. Like, you know, it was just terrible. But
I know France up there too, man. France,
you
de Gaulle.
Been to France?
France de Gaulle, don't do it. I've been through the airport. That's not a good airport. They're like not structured. It's very, very unorganized, man. I've never seen an airport like that. You got people just standing in the thing, like shifting people, and then of course they speak French. So it's one of them you have to experience like hand on, like. But I would rather you not go through the airport. France de Gaulle, y'all look into that one. You could probably check the reviews. They probably have some crazy up there. But yeah, if you could find that, you can find the reviews on it. They'd be like, don't do it.
So I got a few more questions for you.
Like walking through an empty mall. Hold on. Before you do that, let me get to one more thing about the Japanese dating.
Oh, all right, cool. So you said Japanese dating?
Dating in Japan, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say that humans are humans, man. Like, we all human. So at the end of the day, whatever you think a human might do is still possible. Hey, you know, your mindset is a real mindset that a lot of people in the world have. And I think that, especially now with social media, it's a little bit different. I tell most dudes, this is for the dudes. Go find you a woman that's, if you serious and you seriously want a good woman, I would say go to Starbucks and you find you one of them Japanese girls that's reading a book. You go chill up there and read a book. When I met my baby mama, she was in school and she had an apartment. Most Japanese girls still live with their parents, by the way. So she had her own apartment, her own car, and she was in college, and then she worked at a little side job. Most Japanese girls, they stay with their parents until marriage for the most part. They don't get kicked out the house early. They can all stay with their family until they're well off. Most of the times that I've seen.
Okay.
They got love hotels. So, you know, you can meet a girl, hang out with her, go get your little two-hour hotel, very nice. Usually after the club, you know, you party in, you can go there, turn up. Hey, man, they got karaoke. They got video. They got Wii. Some of them got PlayStations. They got jacuzzi in it. Wherever you at, they got some nice ones, man. Y'all go check that out. Or if you just got a record, you know, it's just you and your girlfriend. You want to just have a little fun. You can go there. You know, they have party rooms.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things to do, but dating, if you cool, the girl cool, she gonna take care of you. You know, you take care of her, she gonna take care of you. They still got more traditional values than, you know, other girls, I would say. They're pretty sweet and nice people. They could be funny, depending on the girl, they could be funny. They got jokes, but they do not have a lot of sarcasm, y'all. Okay? So they're going to take your ass literal. They're going to take you literal for a lot of things. So you got to kind of teach them that. They don't get it like that. They're going to take you serious. They're very serious people, but they're very nice people too at the same time. So I will say that about the dating. But hip hop girl, yeah, man, come on, man. Come on, man. She gonna be fine. She gonna be cool.
She probably
can't twerk like that, but you know.
And that was the next thing on the list. What is your take on the nightlife in Japan?
Right now, I would say it's low right now because after COVID and everything, and people are starting to travel other places, and again, they're busy. So, like, right now, it's a very stressful time for them. So we talk about, like, why they don't like us. Like, a lot's changing for them right now. And I think it ain't that they don't like us. They just don't really have time for it right now. They don't have a lot of downtime for themselves, which will lead to you to feel some type of way, right?
Yeah, the overworkedness.
You know,
yeah.
They overworked and we over here balling. That's kind of, I be pissed too. You know what I mean? How do we feel about people coming to America? They owning businesses and they ain't Americans. You know, say it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, I can agree because sometimes, like, you get those guys. Like, I remember in Colombia, I seen this one guy in the club just throwing money, popping bottles. Like,
they do not throw money in Colombia. That is a big no-no.
Oh, you're not supposed to do it. Like, the guy had on like a Gucci outfit, and I'm like, for what? Like, this dude trying to get kidnapped.
He trying to get tied up. They'll tell you, man, locals, you know, you've been over there.
They will tell you in a heartbeat. Like, I remember I just kept walking around, like, my phone right here, right? I kept walking around because usually I have my phone in my hand, and I had to learn being on the motos, like, in Asia.
Better put it on.
You're fine in Asia, but I still would recommend to put your phone in your pocket.
Put your phone up.
In South America, somebody will snatch your shit out your hand. Like, there was a time where the driver that was driving me on the moto, he told the guy that I was with that spoke Spanish at the time, because I speak Spanish now, but he told him, he said, blah, 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 blah. He said, you better put your fucking phone away for somebody to take it. And I'm standing with these three girls or whatever. And the one girl pulled me, like, she grabbed me and she said, listen, Poppy, like, and she typed in my phone. She said, somebody will put a gun up to your head and take your phone. You need to put that in your pocket. Yeah, so that's a very serious thing.
If it's new enough, they definitely going to hold up. That bitch about $1,000, ain't it? Let me go and get that.
So that's what I say.
By the watch.
But that's what I mean. Like, certain people, like, out the country, I feel you, because you say they don't have time for that or they're not on that right now. Yeah. And I see how, like, you got some people that, you know, they go into clubs and they act like they balling, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Japan is, I would say you can still go to Tokyo. Japan is Osaka. Shout out to my homies in Osaka. It's just, they have areas for it, but it's down right now. It's down right now because it's different. You know, things is different and they just work. They really working a lot, man. They really working a lot. So it's the hip hop scene for us is not that cool. EDM and all that, that's what they do. So, you know, that's still jumping. But like for hip hop, not so much right now.
So let me ask you this, kind of to veer off this topic just a little bit. So you told me that you got into the military, and when you got to Japan, you ended up staying on base, right?
No. I was off. Oh, yeah. I stayed on base for a little bit, and then I was off base.
So my second question is it affordable in Japan? And how much does it cost to live in Japan? Is it expensive? Like, for you, when you finally came off base, because U.S. covered the cost of everything.
You're talking about my civilian life now, right?
Yeah. Like, when you first did it.
When I first did it, it was still amazing. It's amazing because outside of the military, there's no curfew. If you're in the military over there, you got a curfew. You gotta be back on base by 1 o'clock for most people. 1 to 5, you can't be outside off the base. But when you live in there as a civilian, very nice, man. They play darts. They play darts a lot. They got dart bars and stuff like that. I would say the food is super affordable. You looking at like Let me see. I got to grab something. You got like a rice ball, a little rice ball. Now, it used to be like 100. That's like maybe like 95 cents for us, 100 yen for us. Now it's like maybe like 200 because inflation. You think inflation's went up around the world, y'all. It ain't just America. It ain't just America. We tell you, we can tell you about Thailand, you know. It's up.
But far as housing, like let's say when you first left the base, right? What was the first quote for the first apartment that you ended up getting?
Now, let me tell y'all something. You're going to get priced differently than the locals. So if you American, if you got a girl, get your Japanese friend or a woman to get the crib for you, okay? Yeah. And you pay her if you have to, or you pay that person if you have to, and let them pay your bills, or at least let them set up the contract for you. Because they know you got more money, right? So a lot of them know, oh, if you come in with a different company from the States or America, they're going to give you a certain amount of money for housing. And your money translates differently. So if I got a four-bedroom house, which is very affordable over here, y'all, I'm looking at a four-bedroom up in northern Japan right now. It's about maybe like $1,300. It's a two-bedroom. I'm in a four-bedroom house. It's got a yard, two-car garage. It's about $1,400. So in their money, that's like $2,000 in their money.
Yeah.
So they're going to want the more money. But if the Japanese person was to get that house, it would probably be maybe like 15, you know?
15, okay. 15. Yeah. And you can also say that 15,000. So 15,000 in yen is about, that's like 102 US dollars.
No. I'm just saying, like, breaking it down. I wasn't doing the real numbers. I'm just saying, like, if it was $2,000 in our money, the house in my money is $1,380-something. A four-bedroom, mm-hmm. which in their money is, like, 20,000 yen, if you want to do it like that.
Yeah. That's not bad.
That's a lot for them, though.
Yeah.
So they're catering this house to Americans. You see what I'm saying? Or foreigners. They would carry to this house to American foreigners because they know that you can afford this housing. So they're going to put this housing on the market for people like you. Same thing in America for military, right? They know the military get paid a certain amount of money. So guess what? If I want to sell this house to the military, I'm going to put it. How much you get paid in the military? I'm going to put my rent to the max of your money.
It's already calculated, you know, and that's what I tell people, like, when it comes to vacations and stuff, these people kind of already have an idea of what we're going to spend and everything. That's why, like, if you're going to a different country and you only stay within these tourist zones, they're going to charge you a certain price. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you go to the Philippines, right? And you end up going to Siargao in the Philippines. You're going to get charged up, you know, but it's different if you go to a local area. You're going to get the more local price. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. I also wanted to touch on that one part. Like when you said, you know, if you got a girlfriend or a homie or something like that, people got to stop thinking because we be with, let's say we're with girls or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we're screwing every girl that you
get
see
you some
on
local
Instagram.
Friends.
Yeah, like
you need like these people.
Like I had this one girl with me in the Philippines, and I would send her into places, you know, because they would give her the real price. Because if they see me, it's like nobody would give me the real price. Same thing in India. Like the girl, she told me, she said, "Listen, stay out here. I'll go negotiate the price." The moment I walked in, it's like everybody seen gold. You know, it was too late.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
That's big, but it's the same thing, right? You see a rapper coming, or they see everywhere you go, it's the same in that sense. In that sense, somebody everybody on their hustle, right? Everybody on their hustle. The language barrier. Oh, he don't know that we can actually get this fake T-shirt printed for $5. You American man, let me give you $20. Give me $20 for this shirt. You got it.
That's like when famous people be like. You got an everyday barber charging somebody $25, $40 for a haircut. You see a famous person, the haircut is $1,000.
Let me get $1,000 for this standard hair everybody does. Why? Because you got it.
Yeah.
So that's why you need to make y'all when y'all travel, man, get in with the local people. And if you do, you're going to end up helping somebody, and then they're going to end up taking care of you for way less. Shout out to OG Tao. Vietnam, my dad, man. Vietnam, man. He take me to a good massage. We got a massage for, like, what, $5? Well, I got a massage. You probably don't want to talk about
it. I walked
that.
Out. Nah, we can talk about it.
So we went and got a massage, and the chicks, they were cool. They was feeling us.
They was feeling you, nigga.
He got the pretty girl, but she was like the mama. She was like the massage lady daughter, I guess. And she just had her way, man. She not rubbing my man's shoulders right.
So she like
one hand
looking this way.
Yeah,
talking this way. Just don't even give a fuck that I'm right there. And I'm like, I always get massages, so I know what a good massage feel like, and I know what a bad massage feel like.
Yeah.
It felt like...
She ain't care.
So what did I do?
Yeah, you was ready to get up. It's time to go.
I told her, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, you can just stop. Yeah.
Stop. Just stop the massage. Stop the madness. And I went outside... And I wanted to tell her mom, but it was like she was sticking right there just in case. And I'm like, I don't want to get into an argument with these people.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yo. So, hey, man, at least I got her to apologize to you.
Yeah. And you was lit. Like when I seen Flame for the second time in Vietnam, I came in there. He had a bottle on the table, ice, everything cool. And it's different out there. The fact that you got your own person sitting right there. Like, let's say you drink your drink. She refill it right there. She ain't going to wait to do it. She's going to do it right there. She's going to throw some ice in there. Your ice start melting. Yeah, like,
it's cool, man. It's cool. So Japan can do that too. Japan got some places that do that too. Remember I was telling you they got some business-only places? They got some of them that'll let us in. They keep you drink, like, you pay, like, let's say, like, in our money, $20, maybe $30, and it's all you could drink for an hour. They light your cigarette, and if you're one of them people who smoke, they light your cigarette and pour you up your glass. So you do got those. They ain't going to have everything you drink now, but for what they have, it's all you can drink for a couple hours. But yeah, man, that service out there was awesome for the money we paid, man.
Nothing.
We
didn't pay.
Besides your massage, he had a terrible massage.
Terrible.
I had an amazing massage. He had the worst one of his life probably for $5, and I got the best one I ever had in my life for $5.
He had the chick shoes on his feet.
Oh, man,
going crazy. Then when she switched to your back, she started doing this. Yeah. She hit this crazy elbow move, then another hand move.
Yeah, you were doing the salty. He was like, man, I'm out.
My chick rubbing me with one hand, and she talking to you. I'm like, yeah, she got to stop.
She was very unprofessional. That's why we thought she was the lady daughter. And then she went over there pouting. She had a little gold necklace, so I peeped it. I'm like, nah, she spoiled or something.
Some money
she
right
was spoiled,
there.
Yeah. She was like the massage brat or something. But that's not your normal thing, man. That's not the normal thing.
At all. Nope.
They basically had a block party at the bridge, right?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Vietnam is the one place I would recommend anybody to travel to. Like, I didn't appreciate it at first, but I feel like going to India made me appreciate Vietnam 100% more.
Yeah, you jumped out there on that one. When I seen you do that, I was like, oh, whoa, I'm glad you went, because now I definitely don't got to go. I was living through you on that one. I was trying to save you. You was like, I'm finna get out of here. I was like, hey, I can't blame you. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with India. Ain't nothing wrong with India. It's just not for everybody. It's not for everybody.
The thing is, people got to be real. You know, there are some beautiful places in India. There are. Yeah. Beautiful. But when you travel to some of these places, the first thing you see sometimes is just that some of the environments are just unsanitary. Yeah. And
it's real life.
And I'm not blaming the people. I blame the government because they need to pass certain laws and
regulations to clean it up. Yeah.
They're not making these people clean it up, you know? So, I mean, it is what it is. It's not talking trash. It's just the experience. If I came out the airport and everywhere I stepped, my shoes got dirty, or I just smelled like onions and I got deodorant under my arms, but I smell like onions every time I come home at night. Like, I'm being honest. Like, I can't lie about it. Like, if I went to go, if I wanted to go buy some fruit off a thing or whatever, and there's bugs all over it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it was. That's my experience. That's what it was. You know?
Tell you about Japan bathroom, though. You can eat off that motherfucker. You can eat off of it.
Is that clean?
Nah, they're pretty clean, man. The bathroom is pretty clean. They got the seat warmers. I don't use it, but they got the little thing that squirts you know what I mean? Little toilet scratcher butt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they got one of them. And that's just standard. That's about standard across, unless it's like in the country somewhere, you're going to see that kind of bathroom, man.
Yeah. I seen that in the Philippines. Actually, that was the first time I seen it. I didn't know what it was. It was like a handle or something like that on the side.
It come up.
Yeah, because this chick had used it first, and when she twisted it, I guess the water was still kind of running a little bit, so I went to go turn it off, and when I twisted it, it shot in my fucking eye. Yeah, man, I'm happy she was gone because I would have kicked her ass out.
Oh, that's crazy, bro.
So
hey, it got me. One was automatic. One was set automatic. One time, I was at my baby mama and them people house, right?
Yeah,
and I was using the bathroom, and they got me, boy. What the hell? hit me with the warm. Hit me with the warm water. Hit me with the warm water, bro. I said, but hey, man, I'm a country boy. I ain't used to nothing like that. So you know, but that's the thing, man. They got a little sprayer for you to wash you up and stuff. You know, you do your number two, whatever.
That's crazy.
But yeah, Japan is pretty clean, man. Japan, the sidewalks is clean. Maybe one day, you know, we could give them a little walk through down the street or something. If I see a little festival, I hit you up and record it and send it to you or something.
Listen, I'll be in Japan sometime in October, November. So
Then even that's even better. We'll do something for sure.
I got one last question for you. If a newbie traveler asked for a perfect first time itinerary, I butchered that question. Let me ask again. If a newbie traveler asks for the perfect first time itinerary, right?
Yeah.
What would you put on it? Like, where would you tell me to go in Japan? Would it be Tokyo, Osaka? Yeah.
The perfect place to go for your first time, just for like a short trip, right?
Yeah. If I was trying to fill up my itinerary, you know, I don't know what to do at all. What is just some things or places you can name? You don't have to name restaurants specifically, but just some locations. Like, where would you tell people, point people in the right direction?
All right. So if you come into Japan, I feel like, depending on me personally, I feel like some things that you got to see, you kind of got to go to Tokyo. Most of the time you fly directly into Tokyo anyway. I think it's Hinata. Haneda. One of them is in the countryside. There's two airports, Haneda and Narita. Go to the one that's in the city. Do not fly. It's a little bit more expensive, but you do not want to go all the way to the countryside. Because if you go to the airport, you have to go from Haneda to Narita to get into the city. And it's countryside into the city, and it's big. It's a good little drive. And you take the train. You don't want to take a taxi, because a taxi is going to be like $200. I think it's like $300 now in their money. Also, always take the Shinkansen. If you're going to go mainland, from city to city, you can get from city to city. They call the Shinkansen, they bullet train. Pretty fairly cheaper and quicker.
Yeah, so it was around like $50. It's not that much.
Yeah, it's not that bad for us if you want to travel to another city.
So my first time, what I recommend, you go to Tokyo, you know, check out Roppongi. You got to go to Roppongi area. That's like a staple. You gotta see Roppongi. You gotta see Shibuya. Shinjuku Street used to be like a really famous street. The four-way crossing, the intersection, mm-hmm. what they did, Tokyo Drift at, right? Or Fast and the Furious. You need to go there. I got people in Hiroshima. I would say you got to stop in Osaka. Osaka has Kyoto. It's traditional. They have it's really pretty, man. They have like a still super, super traditional, the clothes and stuff. That's where they go to school at. And you can see everybody in their kimonos and yukatas and stuff like that. Still traditional dressed a lot. You see it in Tokyo too. They going in there and that's they still their business attire, them and their wives and stuff, Okusan or whatever, in their attire, like the kimono and everything, especially in the winter, obviously in the wintertime, kimono.
So let me ask you this just small question. If I go put on a kimono as a black and I'm walking down the street, what is the reaction?
You wear so Okinawa is a little different. Because it's more of us over there. Your girlfriend gonna want you to put it on. Your girlfriend gonna want you to put it on because it's showing love to her. You know, if they see you, some people ain't gonna like it, man. You know, it's the same everywhere you go. Interracial couple. This dude got on and get wearing this. Really, some people feel that. Some people feel that way. That's life, man. You can't. I feel that's what I'm telling people. Like, ain't nobody gonna come up and attack you for it. If you know what they're saying, they might say some slick stuff or they might wait till they home and be like, man, we seen a black dude rocking a kimono. Some people like it and they might run up to you and be like, yeah, man, hell yeah. Like, let's take a picture, you know? I cannot give you the answers to that, but if you at a festival, it's respectable in a festival. He dying. It's respectable in the summer festivals. You will see it. I should have took a picture. It was a dude at the festival yesterday. He was doing a dance. But he's a black dude and he teaches their dance school, I believe. So you know, at a festival it's cool. On a regular day, they might have some questions for you. They might be like, "Who are you?" Like, if you rocking one of them, you in some business. Like, where you going? Who you married to? Because that's some serious stuff to do, or like a wedding thing.
Yeah.
So you got people who do the wedding pictures, you know. My homeboy, he wore it for his wedding and everything. Ooh, I got to find that picture. I have to go back and see if I have one. I got my kids. My kids, they got theirs. They rock them. When they kids, they take pictures and stuff. Japan does a lot of things like, obviously, newborn, 1 year old, I want to say 3 years old, 5 years old. When they 20, they do, and then 13 for like middle school, right? They do like serious graduation thing, the family getting money and stuff like that. And 20, when you become 20, you become an adult, basically, because they can drink at 20 years old.
Dang. So it's kind of like our 18 in the United States.
Becoming of age. It's called becoming of age. But yeah, man, like, yeah, they're going to, you probably get some crazy looks if you rock that out of just on a normal day, you just throw that on. Somebody gonna be like, what's going on? Why he wearing this?
Yeah, Japan is a weird place. Let me say that. Tokyo is a very weird place. So, you know, I was just thinking, I'm gonna be fucking weird too. So let me put on a Naruto Ninja Leaf.
Is it weird? Is it really weird? I think it's just like, to me, I feel like they just, that's their... That's part of their thing, though, you know, like.
Not disrespectful, weird. Yeah. I love Japan. Don't get it wrong. I love Japan.
I fuck with Japan.
Trust me. When I say weird, I mean the good way. Just like I'll say like America the, like is the kitty, crazy.
Like the kitty, like when they be wearing their little ears and stuff like that.
It's weird, but it's cool. Like, when I say, like, America's crazy as shit, and I mean it by every definition. It's crazy.
We wild people, man. We wild people.
Yeah. But we love Japan, man. I ain't been there yet.
When you come, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time.
Damn right.
You got to go
I've been soaking up the culture my whole life through anime, through just watching videos, just learning my history. I just think it's time. I got friends there that's just waiting for me to come. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah. A lot of respect for Japan.
Definitely go to Hiroshima. My travel guide. So go to Tokyo, land in Tokyo, and go see the, you know, the inner city of Tokyo. You know, get that experience because that's going to give you a strong feel of how busy they are, man. You're going to see people driving crazy cars. If you see a car in Tokyo, that's serious. They got money. A lot of people take the sub, the trains and everything because they don't have nowhere to park this car and everything. You got to pay for parking a lot in Japan, especially in the mainland, right? So Tokyo, go see the city. You know, make sure you take the trains. Take the trains. I repeat, do not take the taxi. Take the trains. Take the local trains. It's way cheaper. It might be a little packed, but you won't be going far. So it'll be on and off, on and off, on and off. If it's somewhere you're trying to get, like, super fast, take the Shinkansen. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's going to get you there, and you're going to be way more comfortable than taking a local train all the way, a three-hour train, a bullet train versus now a six-hour train because it's stopping every stop, and it's always
packed. You know,
you can do
that. Yeah, that would screw up a regular traveler because somebody like me, going, like, I'm in Thailand right now, and my mode of, you know, transportation is, you know, getting on the bikes, or I don't never take the car unless, you know, I'm with somebody, then I'll take the car. It's more respectful. But to go to Japan and now having to get back on a train is like becoming a local again in my own city. So
yeah, but you'll love the train, man. It's gonna make you feel so much different because the northern train versus, you know, American style train versus their train, you're gonna be like, wow. 100% you're gonna be like, wow. Wow, this is insane how different it is. When you think about the Shinkansen, I think about running from the West Coast to the East Coast. And the first thing that come to people that I talk to about it is like how many fights, how dirty it would be. You know what I mean? How dangerous it would be to run it from West to East Coast, you know?
Oh yeah, 100%. But we've been going almost 2 hours now.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to thank you for having you on. You're definitely a very important guest. Your story is like no other. Like, yeah. And I feel like we didn't even get into everything, but
man, there's, you know, so much stuff we could talk about, man.
Yeah. We love to have you on. And I definitely love to have my other co-host on because she really get down to the business, especially with the British accent.
Yeah.
So where are you from? That was terrible. But yeah, I appreciate having you on. You have any final comments?
I want to say Tokyo to Osaka, Osaka to Hiroshima, Hiroshima to Fukuoka, Fukuoka to Okinawa in that order because you're going down the island and then to the smaller island, to Hawaii of Japan. If you want to go north, I'm not a cold person. I have not been to Hokkaido. I'm up here now. I'm up in northern Japan now in Misawa. So it's beautiful so far. I have to update y'all on that, living up here. Yeah, go to Japan, man. Like, it's going to be awesome. Good food, good people. Don't let how people personally feel about how people look at them affect you. You got to go to Hiroshima, though, man. You got to go see the Peace Park, man. That's a must-do. That's a must-do. Very, 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 very important that we get that out there, that people go see that, man.
Listen, y'all hear it here. You know, he's not in the United States just talking to you, just saying whatever. He's in Japan, you know, living a life, living the experience, has the friends, family. The man knows what he's talking about. Make sure y'all go follow him on Instagram. You have a socials you want to put out there.
Flame for the South. Flame from the South. You see me, I'm just doing a lot of gym. I post a lot of gym things. If you got questions, though, yeah, you can always reach out. You know, I'm open book mostly. I like to help people. You know,
I'm jealous.
I know you like to help people. I know you like to do your thing. He awesome too, man. Y'all know, keep tuning in. hopefully y'all hear some more from me and him traveling and checking stuff out, man, because you don't run across good people like this all the time. So happy to be on the show, enjoying the podcast, man. Definitely be hearing from me. So we'll see, because we definitely going to Cartagena. He got to take me to Cartagena.
Listen, it's going up. We have 40,000 views right now with the last episode. So just want to say thank you for having you on. Appreciate it. And yeah, it's Luxury Nas, Flame, Bad Take Podcast. We out.
Love, man, love. This is the Bad Take. This is the Bad Take Podcast.